You believe we've entered this World War X, so why do you call it World War X?
I just don't know how to count very well.
can count pretty good.
Yeah. No, the problem is that I really, when you get down to how many global confrontations there have been, it's very hard to say. Some will suggest that the Cold War was the Third World War, and that maybe it's a fourth. Others will actually say we've only had one world war, and it's been punctuated by periods of peace. So it's very hard to describe or put this into a continuum of how many conflicts we've had, but it certainly is global in nature.
Can we actually win this kind of situation, this terror with people killing themselves, blowing themselves up, smashing into buildings and planes? I mean, how do you win something like this, John?
Well, I would address that in three separate ways, and these are really articulated, if people are interested, in the book. First, say to win the war on terror, and we absolutely won't, three steps that you must take. One is you've got to legalize drugs. And that's, of course, politically incorrect. But there's $500 trillion in drugs. Drugs is the leading form of money to support terrorism. And it's absolutely overwhelming, and we could deflate that immediately.
You know, I said that a long time ago, and I wanted to make perfectly clear when I said that then, John, that this was not a pro-drug agenda by any means.
No, it's not pro-drug. It's just that to us to say we have a war on drugs is kind of like Saddam saying the mother of all battles hasn't started.
As an example, in the United States alone, what do you think the crime is because of drugs in this country?
Yeah, the estimates are that 80% of crime against property is drug-related and 50% of crime against person.
It's huge.
It's huge, absolutely huge. And so you're not going to eliminate all of that, but you're going to eliminate quite a bit. I'll give you a number most people don't know, but I actually, in researching the book, went in and totaled it up. If you go in and look at the money, the federal funds alone, spent directly on this war on drugs, we have spent $500 trillion, that's the T word, over a period of, you know, a little more than a decade, with zero return on investment. And by that I mean street price and availability has not changed.
No. People and, get their drugs and they find it.
And if you want, you know, fraud, waste, and abuse, and you worry about expensive toilet seats and that, nothing compares the amount of money we've put into this for no result. Now, we have had a result. I mean, we ended up, we've now got 6 million people in the correctional system, about 2 million of them behind bars, more than any other country in the Western world. And the drugs keep coming. The problem is we're users. You know, until we admit that we are the problem, it's not the drug dealers. It's the, you know, it's the users that are the problem.
And as soon as people realize that the user is going to get drugs, whether he has to rob or kill someone or get money from some other source to buy it, he's not going to stop. So what happens if you made this drug then legal or at least gave it to him in a free way, a controlled way, he'll probably still take the drug?
Well, there will be some who do that, but they do it now. And I think the argument that says, oh, everybody's going to run out and use drugs is absolutely specious. This is much more akin to what happened with Prohibition. Yeah, we've got some alcoholics and people who abuse the drugs. And they do that now, but they would probably do it anyway. And you do have the right to be stupid, you know, I mean.
Well, that's true. Would you set up rehab centers and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that you take, but only a small portion of the money that's been needed in trying to prevent drugs from coming in, but put it into both prevention and rehabilitation. I think a big effort ought to go into prevention. But not with the silly ads that the kids kind of laugh at now.
Well, what would you do with, let's say, your DEA agents? Would you even need them anymore?
Don't see why.
Okay. Now,
I mean, you're going to need some small force. It's just like you have alcohol units now and go around and make sure that you get the right stuff and, you know, that you haven't got a substitute source coming in and all that, but not near the effort that's ongoing. It would be cheaper. I don't want to turn this all into just a drug program.
No, because we've got some other steps here in this.
It would be cheaper just to go out and buy the damn stuff.
Yeah.
You know, than to do the interdiction.
Again, your whole reason for wanting to legalize drugs would be to stop the flow of all this illegal money to terrorists.
Yeah, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. As I said, hundreds of billions a year. And we saw what Osama was able to do with a few hundred million. The second phase, and we can come back to the drug issue because it really is, you know, quite a centerpiece.
Right.
And women probably won't like this, but I think we need to devalue diamonds.
Devalue diamonds?
Yes.
What has that got to do with anything?
Well, quite a bit. There's hundreds of millions of dollars in blood diamonds that come out, and diamonds have no reason for being anywhere near as expensive as they are. Yeah, they look nice and all that, but they probably ought to be about the price of glass. And you have an entire industry built on nothing but image. Diamonds are not rare. They're being more are being found constantly. Been some interesting stories popped within the last couple of weeks here in the U.S. about artificial diamonds. Understand a retired general has brought some technology from Russia over here, starting to create them, but they're only doing it because it's high. But the diamonds are just not rare. And what if you overlay where diamonds are found and the instability and, you know, support for terrorism, you'll see there's a high coincidence. So you have, since we've got these artificially inflated prices, you've got millions to hundreds of millions of dollars. A good bit of that is also going into supporting terrorism and destabilizing countries.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I want to get a clearer thought about this, because I don't quite understand it yet. I'm getting close here. Let's use a country like South Africa, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They mine diamonds. Mm-hmm. Some of the big companies do. And what do you mean by blood diamonds fund terrorism? Explain that. What does that mean?
Okay, well, the diamonds that are mined legally, in order to keep the price of diamonds where they are, the Kimberley cartel has to buy up 70 to 80% of all of the diamonds just to keep them off the market. There's already enough diamonds in vaults that if you just turn them loose, yeah, tomorrow your rings would be worth glass.
Okay. All right. I understand
that. So you have this vast amount already. So you have this commodity that is built totally on image. You know, diamonds are forever. And
mm-hmm.
Not really true.
And a girl's best friend, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's been the thrust. You have a cartel controlling this, and we do not allow this, you know, in any other industry in the world. And yet we seem to go along with diamonds. So what happens is because the prices are artificially high and the diamonds are not particularly rare, so
mm-hmm.
they're found at mines that operate outside the control of the standard mines. And so they just take the diamonds and they sell them on the black market, mostly because the countries in which they're found are unstable and are funding guerrilla wars by bringing
okay.
in weapons.
Okay, all right. I see what you're talking about.
And so the terrorists get involved in this. And
they might even run some of these mines, right?
They do.
Okay. All right, so not the controlled mines, but the ones that somehow they have stumbled across or invested in or whatever.
It is so big, and you're talking about, you know, areas of Africa that are pretty much uncivilized and ungovernable. And
so what you're saying is let's wipe out their ability to make a lot of money with these things.
All of the measures that I have are focused on eliminating the finances available for terrorism.
Which you believe to be the crux of the problem with terrorists? Do you cut their funding? Do you cut their necks?
Pretty much.
Okay, what's the third?
There's still some will be out there. Well, the other is to look at financial crime per se, and that's how money moves. There's two issues. One is the way money moves, and the Western banks have sort of gotten together and are doing a better job of keeping track of where money originates and how it moves. However, in African countries, by and large, it is not as well controlled. And so you can move large amounts of money electronically in and out of Africa in seconds, you know, minutes on the outside. Remember, the money isn't moving. This is just electrons moving across, you know, agreeing that a certain amount of money is transferred in.